You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hi, and welcome to this week's exciting Corner House podcast. I'm Sarah Perks, Program Director here at Corner House. I'm joined by regular contributors Andy and Joe, and we're going to talk about a film, Incendie, that comes out this week. And we're also going to catch up with Magda Archer ahead of a new exhibition. We have a bit of film news, a staff recommendation, and of course, a What's On. So I'm joined by regular contributors Dr. Andy Willis from the University of Salford and Dr. Joseph McGonagall from the University of Manchester. And this week we're talking about Incendie. And let's start with Andy. Tell us what this film is about.
Well, it's in a sense, it's like a political film that is kind of apolitical. It's one of the things the director said about the film. So it's got a political backdrop, a kind of country that's divided between Christians and Muslims. It begins with the death of a character, and then the twins, son and daughter of that character, have to piece together their mother's life. It's one of those films, I think it's difficult to give you too much information because it might spoil a film. But the piecing of the information involves travelling back to their country of origin, finding out a number of incidents that have formed their mother's experiences and her changing perspective on the political landscape in that country. It's quite an intense film. There's a lot of emotion in it. It's quite melodramatic in parts, but I thought it was really, really effective. At the beginning, I was thinking I wouldn't quite like the kind of non-specificness of it. It doesn't tell you what country it's set. I mean, I don't think it's saying anything too much by revealing that it's probably set in the Lebanon, because it's a Christian and Muslim divide, and sort of it's set in the 1980s. But they don't say it specifically. So when I was watching it, I was thinking, well, all of these ideas and these emotions and the things the characters are going through, that could all apply to somewhere like the Balkans or some of these other factional places where there's lots of internal divides and families divided, people losing each other, all of these sorts of things. So I don't want to say too much, but that kind of, I think, gives a flavour of it.
And do you know anything about the director of Incendie?
Well, he's not a director that I was overly familiar with. I mean, I know that he'd made a film called Polytechnique a few years ago, which was about the kind of Montreal Canadian Columbine, where a crazed guy went into, I think it was an engineering school or something, or he certainly shot a few women who were training to be engineers, and there was a lot of debate as to whether it was kind of his misogyny and his unhappiness with women entering into this kind of male world. But he sort of shot a load of them, and Denis Villeneuve had made a film about that, which was quite lauded, I think, at the time. He's made some other films, but none of them have really had the critical impact that this film's had, I think. So I think it is one of those films where you think, right, now he's made this, you can see him going on probably to make either maybe a film in America or making films that will be have a much higher profile on the festival circuit in years to come. One of the things I was most impressed with this film was the way in which the director was able to compress what was apparently a 3.5-hour stage play into a film of just over 2 hours. And I think they do a fantastic job. When I was watching it, I didn't really feel at all that it was something that was very theatrical or very stagey. It flowed, it was very cinematic, very visual film. So I thought he did a fantastic job.
Okay, and over to Joe, who's our resident Francophone film and art expert. This film, of course, is a French-Canadian production. So Joe, tell us a bit about it, and particularly who's in it.
Well, thanks, Sarah. Yes, as you say, it's partially set in Montreal, or Montréal, as I'm supposed to say, obviously. You know, French learners and French speakers will enjoy hearing a Quebecois accent, which is very distinctive, which is the accent that the two lead stars' children have, and we see them try to discover the traces of their mother's life and various family secrets, which we won't reveal because it will spoil the story. But the lead actress is Lubna Athabal, and she really kind of rose to prominence within French film in 2004 because she starred in Tony Gatliff's Cannes award-winning film Exil with Romain Duris, who went on to become even more famous, big French film star globally and within France. And there were elements of this her performance in Incendie which reminded me of Exil. So very much a focus on the mind, on psychology, on journeys, you know, literal, metaphorical as well. And that filmmaker Zilli is famous for it's either 10 or 12 minutes long trance scene where she goes into a trance and it's method acting. So it's one take, so there's no editing at all. And she participates in this Sufi trance in Western Algeria. And there are elements in Asondi of her, you know, going through quite extreme experiences and various kind of physical and emotional states. So I can see why Denis Villeneuve wanted to work with her on this film.
Okay. Now, I haven't actually seen the film yet, so I'm listening to what both of you are saying, but I can't quite get to the heart of what type of film is it, Andy?
Well, in a sense, it's a political film that is like a jigsaw puzzle. So it's got different sections that revolve around different characters, different places, different times. And so as the film goes on, the pieces of the jigsaw, which is to do with the mother's life and the mother's experiences, come together, and we slowly get a bigger picture and a wider understanding of the different emotions that the character's gone through and why she's gone through those things. So in a sense, it's that kind of, it's not a whodunit, but it does do that kind of classic investigation. So there's the daughter and then later the son are investigating, and they go to meet different people. And as they meet different people, different shades of their mother's life comes to we get to understand different shades of her life.
Okay, and then so Joe, tell us, did you like the film?
I did. I thought it was really stunning, and it's clearly one of those films that you have to come and see on the big screen. You know, as Andy was saying, you know, it's the cinematography is fantastic, and you know, it starts. Again, like Exile, actually, it starts with a very dramatic opening scene. And I was very surprised because I'm very much a fan of Radiohead, and it starts with a Radiohead song. So I kind of admire Denis Villeneuve for getting permission from them to use the song. But in a way, for me, the opening scene almost could be read as a kind of manifesto for the film which follows. I thought it was a very brave film, thought it was very accomplished. You know, he's a relatively young director, but I thought the way he used colour and the way he used sound as well, because there are various scenes where the sound is turned down and there's almost silence. I thought that was very, very brave, you know, quite a courageous thing to do. So I think it's as Andy was saying, you know, it's a film which operates on various levels, but it should appeal to a wide cross-section of people, because the film fans will trace various references in there. There's almost a suggestion of the Battle of Algiers at one point, Exile as well, road movies, political thrillers from the 70s and 80s as well. But there's also the human interest story, and you know, in fact, as Andy was saying, the fact that it's in an unnamed location, even though we take it to be the Lebanon, but the fact that the emphasis isn't necessarily upon that means that, you know, the spotlight is much more on these individual characters and their psyches and what motivates them to you know, perform the actions that they did.
Okay, and Andy, does Asondi deserve its Oscar nomination?
Well, I think, as we know from discussions we've had before, the best foreign language Oscar is always a very slippery beast to understand. I think this is one of those films that when you see it, you'll think, yes, it does. It's clearly... it's operated in a way, I think, that would have appealed to members of the Academy, because it has got a kind of... It's not mainstream in a sense, but it's quite easy to follow, even though it's broken up into different pieces. You know, it's not too far out there. And it's just a sort of, I think, foreign language film with a kind of broad political concerns, highly emotional. I think the sort of thing that the Academy would like. You know, it's not, you know, an arch piece of art house cinema in any way whatsoever. I'm loath to say it's enjoyable, because it's not that enjoyable, but it's a very... enjoyable film to watch, in a sense, and you get something out of it. It makes you leave the cinema thinking, questioning, all the things that a good political drama should do.
Okay, well, these two are going to stay with us for the quick fire. Meanwhile, Asondi is on at Corner House from Friday the 24th of June for at least 2 weeks. Check our website for the exact times.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Before the quickfire, we've got some film news this week. Over to you, Andy.
Well, I made a special effort to try and intervene this week because I noticed over the weekend that there was an obituary in the Independent I think it was on Friday, for the TV and film director, John McKenzie, British film and TV director. And John McKenzie made some of the greatest British TV dramas of the 1970s, so I thought it would be a good idea to just mention the fact that he died and to honour his sort of body of work. You'll be pleased to know, Sarah, that he began work in the 1960s as an assistant to Ken Loach.
Yeah, my favourite.
But then he made a few features in the early 1970s. He made a film some people may have seen because it's been on TV a few times called Made with the singer Roy Harper and Carol White. But then really in the 1970s, he made his name on TV. A lot of people who are interested in film and television studies and TV drama will know of the adaptation of John McGrath's well-known play, The Chevy at the Stag and the Black Black Oil. There's a very non-naturalistic TV drama made of it in the mid-1970s. And oddly, Mackenzie directed that. I say oddly because he's a director really associated with kind of social realism. The TV dramas that he really made his name with were in the mid-1970s. They were all written by a Scottish playwright, Mackenzie himself is Scottish from Edinburgh, called Peter McDougall. And together they made what's often called the Clydeside Trilogy, three films set on the Clyde in Glasgow. Just Another Saturday, which is about the marching bands. The Elephant's Graveyard, which is about two guys who go on a bit of a wander around the hills. And the best of all, a film called Just a Boy's Game. Now, I wanted to talk about Mackenzie because Just a Boy's Game made an incredible impression on me as a teenager. It was first shown on BBC TV in 1979. Now, I say all of that about Mackenzie, but the film he's most well known for is The Long Good Friday. So he's a director who's worked in TV, worked in films. The later part of his career maybe wasn't as full and didn't have the impact of his earlier films. He made some films with Michael Caine, The Honorary Consul, The Fourth Protocol. He did return to British TV and he made a TV series set in Edinburgh called Looking After Jojo with Robert Carlyle, which people may remember. And that was a kind of swan song for him. He'd gone out of fashion, I think. People had forgotten about him in a little while. So I thought it was really important just to remind everyone what a great film and TV director he was, and as I say, acknowledge the fact that he's no longer with us.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Now it's time for the quick fire. So I'm going to start with Joe. Best political drama?
For me, it's got to be Pontecorvo's The Battle of Algiers.
Great, and Andy?
Well, as we were talking about the film earlier, one of the things that Villeneuve, the director, has talked about a lot in interviews is the influence of Costa Gavras. So I'll go for Costa Gavras' film Missing, the one that's set in I was going to say Cuba, but it's actually, of course, set in Chile with Jack Lemmon, which I think Jack Lemmon won an Oscar for.
I'm going to go for the recent Paul Greengrass film Green Zone, which I think was much better than that other Iraq film that I've even forgotten the name of. What's that other? The big Catherine Bigelow film.
The Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker. Green Zone is the much better film that you should watch if you haven't already. Okay, best festival film, Andy.
Well, for me, again, one of the big festival films would be Gimme Shelter, the one about the Altmont Festival where the Rolling Stones were playing and the Hells Angels beat the hell out of and killed one of the members of the audience. A big scandal and all captured on film, quite shockingly, I think.
Okay, Joe.
For me, I'm just going to be very obvious and say Glastonbury.
Yeah, and topical, because it is indeed Glastonbury coming up. And I'm going to go for Wayne's World 2, where they have their own festival, which I think is called Waynestock or something. Okay, and finally, related to Andy's film news, of course, it's best John McKenzie TV drama or film. I'm going to go for Ruby, which is the one about Lee Harvey Oswald, who obviously shot JFK. And Joe?
I think you'll find he didn't shoot JFK. Oh. Ruby is about Jack Ruby, who shot Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot JFK.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay, Joe.
I didn't think I'd be talking about Bob Hoskins, but I'm going to suggest the Long Good Friday, definitely. I think that's really a film which has stood the test of time and, you know, is always an enjoyable one to watch.
Yay. Andy?
I'll go for a TV drama that he made in the late 1970s for Scottish TV, which was then released by Handmade Films, A Sense of Freedom. An incredibly intense telling of the story of Jimmy Boyle, one of the legendary Scottish criminals, and his time in prison. Amazing. And an amazing performance by David Heyman. I think from what Joe was saying, we can think that he's able to draw incredible performances from people like Hoskins, from David Heyman, from anyone who worked with him, I think.
Okay, right. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Joe. That was great. Thank you.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
And now it's time for our What's On Guide. Do you fancy delving a little bit deeper into our new exhibition, Constellations, that opens this weekend? On Saturday, I highly recommend you join our free guided tour. It's led by the curators of the exhibition, and then it's followed by an informal discussion with Daniel Herman, who's curator and head of MA Curatorial Studies at Whitechapel Gallery in London. So that's a chance for you to really get into the concepts behind the exhibition, ask your questions to the curators and to Daniel. It starts as soon as the exhibition opens, that's Saturday the 25th of June at 12 noon, free to attend. You can book a place on the website or just turn up. The Manchester Kurdish Film Festival also kicks off this Saturday, the 25th of June. This is the fifth edition, and it brings together an exciting collection of features and shorts. We've got a number of film screenings here at Corner House. I recommended last week, and I really can't recommend this film enough. It's called Son of Babylon, and it's also got a post-screening Q&A with the director, Mohammed Al-Daraji, and producer, Isabel Stead. And you can find out more information on our website or look on the Kurdish Film Festival website, which is www.mkff.net. And Andy, you've got a What's On this week as well?
I have, yeah. It's not as if I'm not here enough, but I'm here on Wednesday for a discussion following this week's Corner House Matinee Classic, which is Henri-Georges Clouzot's Le Diabolique, which I think... without a doubt is probably one of the films that we can label a classic, one of the great thrillers, influenced Hitchcock, and if a film's influenced Hitchcock, then it's definitely worth taking a look at. So it's screening on Sunday and Wednesday, and after the Wednesday screening, I'll be leading a discussion, so if anyone's got any burning issues or comments or thoughts that they want to share with everyone, we just stay behind in an informal atmosphere and have a bit of a chat for half an hour or so. So if anyone's free and wants to come down, I'll look forward to seeing them then.
Okay, thank you. And just to clarify, that's Wednesday the 29th of June after the screening, which starts at 1:30.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Now, this weekend is a really busy one for all of us here at Corner House. We've got not one but two exhibitions opening in the galleries. One of those exhibitions is Magda Archer Crazy Mad. It's a solo painting show by London-based artist Magda. And our digital producer, Sarah, caught up with her a few weeks ago to find out more about her work.
Hi, I'm Magda Archer, and I'm having a show at the Corner House.
For our audience that aren't familiar with your work, Magda, tell us a little bit about your practice.
I paint, and I suppose I'm influenced by pop artists, commercial art, and had a background in graphic design. Somewhere along the way, it developed into paintings. So I use a lot of type and nostalgic images, and I suppose I've created my own little world in my studio, which we're trying to replicate in the gallery.
So can you give us a kind of little bit of an insight on what people can expect?
I hope they can expect a lovely, colourful, informative take on my world. It's nostalgic, there's going to be a grotto feel to it, because I collect lots of bits and bobs, junk, sweet wrappers. I'm hoping to include a big part of my collection of things in with my paintings and suitable for all the family.
And why did you choose Corner House to exhibit this piece of work?
Because Corner House is just the right place for me, because it's just a bit of a one-off, special without being in your face.
That's lovely for us to hear. What kind of stuff inspires you when you're doing your painting?
Well, I suppose music is my biggest inspiration. Just a line out of a song or a name. At the moment, things change. When you come to the show, you'll realise I go through little stages, and at the moment it's just people I've wondered about, fictional characters in lyrics.
Anyone in particular that we can get a heads up on?
All right, well, I've just done a couple. One's Angie Baby. And the one I'm just working on at the moment is Little Susie. And it's not Little Susie from the rock and roll song. It's Little Susie by Michael Jackson. I've often wondered about her, who she was. And there's more in this series.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So Magda Archer Crazy Mad previews this Saturday, 4 till 6 in Gallery 1, and opens formally to the public on Sunday, the 26th of June.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
It's time for our staff recommendation of the week. One of the lovely team here recommends something to do or see here or in the city. This week, it's no different, and our exhibition coordinator, Thomas Harold, steps up with his suggestion.
This week, you should submit to Corner House Projects. It's Corner House's regular exhibition programme, open to any artists based in the Northwest. So if you're an artist based in the region and you work in a 2D medium, which can be anything from painting through to photography, photo montage, collage, drawing, you name it, anything which you can bring to Corner House and we can hang straight onto the wall, then please make a submission to Corner House Projects. It's also free to submit and takes place alongside the main exhibitions in Corner House's galleries. So Corner House Projects occupies the front of house spaces, so really the cafe and the bar, which are very busy social environments, bustling with people who are visiting the building for all manner of different reasons. And you'll find all of the submission criteria and information about this programme on the new Corner House website.
Thank you, Thomas, and I definitely recommend you submit your work. It's a really great showcase, and you might sell a piece or two as well. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks again to Andy and Joe and Magda and everyone else that contributed to the podcast. Au revoir.
You've been listening to the Corner House Podcast.